Good morning. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Good morning. It's good to be with you again. I've been gone a few weeks. You've had some real preachers while I've been gone, but I'm back. I was sitting there minding my own business. Is it Eric? Is that right? Darren's brother, Eric, reaches over and says, "Are you preaching?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Well, don't hold back." And then he said, "I didn't come here for nothing." So let's hope I'm not nothing. We'll see. When I was here with you last, we started on a sermon series on Romans. And we got one sermon done. So today's message is message number two. It comes from Romans 5. And it's going to be about grace and hope. I want you to open your Bibles and read along with me. We're just reading the four verses, Romans 5, 1 through 4. Listen to the Word of God. Paul says, "Therefore," you got to watch Paul when he does that. When he says, "Therefore," he's fixing to unload something he wants you to know. "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." And these are the words of God. May he give his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being here with us every Sunday, but most importantly, every day, every night. You create our lives and then you stand guard over them. Help us to come to you. Help us to realize the power that lies within the simple thing we call belief and faith. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be acceptable to you right here, right now, in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I share one little story with you before we start the stories. When Darren was talking about the freedoms we enjoy, that hit a little close to home for me. I have some daughters, several of them. One of them has done some missionary work and she was in Morocco for about 6 years. I didn't get to know these things till she came home, but they were twice in Morocco, which is a Muslim country. It allows, tolerates Christianity. Twice, well, let me back up. There's a law in Morocco. 10 Christians can gather, and that's okay. 11 is not okay, or more. And she got caught twice having more than 10 Christians gathering for a prayer meeting, got arrested, almost got sent home twice. That's not 45 years ago, that's 4 years ago. There are places like that all over this planet where we don't enjoy the freedoms we have here. So please don't take them for granted. This morning is entitled Standing in Grace. I want to relate to you this wonderful account of Paul to the Roman church found in the 5th chapter of that book or letter. And in order to do that, to talk about grace and faith and peace and access and hope, I feel like I will do better to tell you another story, a sort of story within a story. So I'm going to weave back and forth between Paul and Oklahoma to make the point. Please bear with me. On the afternoon of Monday, May the 21st, 2013, Anna Kennedy and Jessica Simons were teaching their kindergarten students at Plaza Towers Elementary School in Moore, Oklahoma. Have you flown through there? You're lucky. A mile away, Paula Faubo was doing the same thing at Briarwood Elementary. Cheryl Stepker, a nurse, had just helped deliver a baby at Moore Medical Center. And in a matter of minutes, everything changed. Only miles away and coming fast was an E5 tornado, 2 miles wide, 17 miles long, and carrying winds of 210 miles an hour. And it was headed right at them. There was no place to run, no place to hide. The fury of nature was bearing down on them in all its ferocity and all its power. More on that later. The book of Romans is thought to be the fullest expression of the Apostle Paul's theology. He's writing from Corinth to the church in Rome, but he has yet to visit there personally. In the opening verses of chapter 5, which we just read, Paul celebrates the blessings that come from justification by faith. Justification by faith, just three words. I've heard some Baptist friends of mine say justification is just as if I had not sinned. I like that. And how do you get there? By faith. And Paul begins by simply reminding his audience that we Christians are justified by our faith, not by anything else. While it helps to know that Paul is writing to these Christians in Rome, his words bring equal light and equal weight and equal comfort to Christians today. The watchwords in this passage, there are five of them: faith, peace, access, rejoice, and hope. And they're interconnected. Watch for them as we explore this passage. Now, back in Oklahoma, it started out as an F1 tornado, which would have been bad enough, as it would have been accompanied by 100 mile an hour winds. But evidence indicates that within 10 minutes, it had turned into an F5 with winds over 200 miles an hour. That's not twice as bad. Scientists tell us it's 8 times worse. On the ground, the wind force is greater than that of an atomic bomb at ground zero. That goes over the top of my ability to describe with words. But words are not needed. You've all seen some of this sort of stuff on TV, where whole roofs are lifted off, buildings, automobiles in the air. This happened at Moore that day. Everything in the path of that tornado in Moore was either flattened or splintered or thrown hundreds of feet. It didn't matter whether you were a person or a bus. If you were in its path, you were going to go airborne. Paul said to the Roman Christians that since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Don't leave any of that out. You don't get peace with God without Jesus. We no longer stress about our inability to adhere to the law, to all the rules and regulations that would make us righteous. We are made righteous, not by ourselves, but by the atonement of our Savior. Our faith in Christ is all that we need. He's our refuge and our strength, just as the psalmist says. Tornadoes give signs, but they don't give much warning. What I mean is, weather people can tell us that conditions are favorable for a tornado, but that warning tends to be pretty geographically wide, and it was that way that Monday. Much of that portion of the state was under a tornado warning. But the tornado itself comes with very little warning, and it can gather strength very quickly. The monster came flying through the town of Moore, destroying everything in its path. When it got to the hospital, it looked like 100 wrecking balls had hit simultaneously. But Cheryl Strupker was ready. She was trained in emergency procedures, including tornadoes. I guess if you live in Oklahoma, you get trained. She got that one-hour-old baby and its mother to the center of the hospital, where all were gathering, and Cheryl and the new mother lay down on the floor, and they hugged with the newborn in between them. They are people of faith, so they began to pray. Over 250 people had gathered there, and when the tornado hit, the winds pushed them into a big pile of bodies. But everyone survived. Cheryl calls that a miracle. Paul says that through Christ we have obtained access by faith. How different from the days of the judges and the kings of Israel on the Day of Atonement, which came once a year. The high priest prepared himself meticulously for his annual venture into the Holy of Holies. He would disappear behind the veil and enter into what was thought to be God's presence, where he would offer the blood of bulls as the sacrifice of the people. The people never entered this place. The priest didn't enter it but once a year. No more, says Paul. Through Christ, we have also obtained access by faith in the grace in which we stand. Now, that's a direct quote from Paul. We have obtained access by faith in the grace in which we stand. The Greek word for access is hard for me to pronounce. I'll take a stab at it. Prosagoge. The word is used only three times in the New Testament, all by Paul. Every time it's applied to Christ. It's the word used to mean introducing someone into the presence of greatness or the divine. Paul is saying that Jesus opens the door for us to God's presence. We have prosagoge, access. Access was important to Paula Fauble as she and three other teachers at Briarwood Elementary gathered 18 children into a hallway between the bathrooms. They put the children on the floor. They put pillows between them and the adults, and then they climbed on top of the children. Four adults trying to cover 18 children. Paula says at one point all she remembers hearing, are you listening? All she remembers hearing in that tornado were the prayers of the adults. Think of that. A tornado is coming through your building at 200 miles an hour with wind that will deafen anyone, and all you can hear is the prayers of those around you. After the tornado, there was nothing much left of that wing of the building except the hallway where they had gathered. Try to visualize that. Everyone survived. Paula lived only a block away, and when she went home, there was no home. It was gone. Gone. Rummaging through the rubble, Paula found her tote bag, complete with comb and brush, and she was delighted. Asked if she'd lost her faith, she looked surprised. Oh, no, she answered, my faith is stronger than ever. God took care of us. Paula had access to God through her faith. Faith in the grace in which we stand. Paul told the Roman Christians and us that we rejoice. We rejoice in hope and even in suffering. Our hope is for the glory of God. Our suffering is a road to more of that hope. And Paul says we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. You want to pause there? How many rejoice in your sufferings? Come on, I know you all do. That's a tough one, isn't it? But Paul says that's what Christians do. Why? Well, Paul says because suffering produces endurance, which produces character. And character produces hope. And there we are again. Back to hope. Isn't that where we started? When we believe, we hope. When we hope, we will find God's glory, and we will even share in it. Can you rejoice in the middle of a tornado? I don't think I could. But I want to believe that I could hope. I want to believe that I could hope like Anna Kennedy and Jessica Simons were hoping that Monday when the sky turned dark and they shielded those kindergartners from the wrath of the tornado as it tore through Plaza Towers Elementary. As they climbed on top of the children, a wall crashed down on them. Listen to this. Truth is stranger than fiction. Then a car flying through the air came to rest on the wall. This is inside a school. Well, it used to be inside. And it wedged it in place. And in some aberration of gravity, the car may have actually helped keep the wall in place as sort of an overhead shelter. When workers came through after the tornado had passed on, they saw only Anna's head sticking out of the rubble as she called for help. They gathered enough people to roll the car from atop the wall, and then one by one, the children were passed out to the rescuers, and the adults were last, and they all survived. Anna says she kept asking God to take her instead of the babies. One of those babies was her own daughter. She just kept telling the children that it was going to be okay. And it is. It's going to be okay. As Christians, we know that. As Paul tells us, through our faith, we have peace with God. Through Christ, we know who God is. Through the Holy Spirit, we come to that personal relationship with Him that gives us that peace. The peace that we're at home, that we're loved, that we're okay. Paul calls it that long word, justification. Just as if we had not sinned, now we are right with God. Through Christ, we also have access not only to God, but to His grace. It is the grace in which we stand. The grace by which we enjoy that access. The grace which gives us hope. Hope is that realistic expectancy in Old Testament terms, that it's really going to be okay. Hope is not a prayer. Hope is a realization, an expectation. And that gives us reason to rejoice. A word Paul uses 35 times in the New Testament, and with good reason. Ask Anna Kennedy or Jessica Simons or Paula Faubel or Cheryl Strebker. Do you notice they are all women? I'm sure men were part of the rescue parties, but I can't help but noticing that all these players are women taking care of the most precious commodity we have, and that's our children. Ask them and a lot of other folks in Moore, Oklahoma. They're rejoicing in the midst of tragedy and suffering because they have that peace and that hope, which Paul talks about. Yes, people died in that tornado, but we look at all that wreckage and marvel at how many survived. Stories of hope that come from experiencing God's grace abound. The Bible's full of them, from Joseph to Lazarus. God lives, and he lives in our hearts. Our stories are his stories. Our victories are his victories. Our suffering only brings us closer to him. So let me ask you, and this is a rhetorical question. Do you have a story? Now, of course you do. There's not a person in this room that doesn't. And if you're one of his, you most certainly do. So why don't you share that story with someone? The Christian world will not survive with people like me getting in front of people like you once a week on Sunday. There is storytelling that has to be done. And it doesn't get done by ministers. You don't need a microphone. You don't need a TV camera. Just tell your story to someone. If you're telling your story about your experience with God, they're going to listen. In Moore, Oklahoma, they're calling all those stories God winks. We need to do some winking of our own. We are all, as Paul says, I love this phrase, standing in the grace of God. It makes me want to look down and wonder how deep my grace is. Don't wait for a tornado to tell your story. Just stand in his grace and start talking. And I'm here to tell you, God will do the rest. Let's pray together. Dear Father, help this story, both stories from Paul and from these women in Oklahoma, be instructive to us that you're there, that you never left, that all we have to do is invoke your name, and the power, your power, can come onto us and into us and withstand even an E5 tornado. In a country today, yesterday, 250 years declared to be a place of freedom, help us Christians to empower and instruct that freedom in such a way that your name be glorified. As this country survives, to fight and win more battles for you. And we'll give you all the glory in Christ's name. Amen.